One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
Well, thanks for joining me in another game podcast bonus. And with me is Patty. Patty, on Monday, you wrote a column. Quite a well thought out column, you know, given that we've had the initial reaction, and now maybe you've had a few more days, we can be a little bit more reflective, dealing with race in football and racial abuse. And obviously, there's a link to the allegations against John Terry and Luis Suarez. But I want to start with something else just about race in the game. And I'm going to read you these quotes are from Dave Whelan. Dave Whelan is the Wigan owner. He's also a former professional. He's a self-made man. He's a northerner. And he's also a man of a certain age. I find, and the reason I point this out is I find this appalling. I don't know if there's some kind of generational shift here. Dave Whelan said, and I quote, "If a white man insults a black man, that's big, big news. But if a black man insults a white man, that's nothing and it's expected. I think we should forget color and, you know, it doesn't bother anybody. Sometimes a footballer, when they're playing at such a level where the stress there is, well, if they call somebody white, if they call somebody black, you just got to get on with it. You know, I think the players who come out and complain about this, sometimes they're a little bit out of order." I see this, and it's easy to get quoted out of context and whatever else, but this kind of seems to me goes back to the old thing about, well, it happens on the pitch, stays on the pitch, Anton Ferdinand, Patrice Evra, shut up and just deal with it. Have we reached a level where it really doesn't matter?
No, definitely not. And in fact, I think the direction in which society is going is the opposite direction, and I rather agree with that. I think that, you know, there used to be a saying that you can call somebody there used to be a sort of theory that you can call somebody a bald so-and-so, or you can call someone a Scottish so-and-so, or a ginger so-and-so, or a fat so-and-so, as part of the, you know, to and fro of the game, and therefore why shouldn't you be able to call him a black so-and-so? I mean, I think that is the consensus of society is that that's nonsense.
500 years of slavery and oppression.
Yes, exactly. You just can't ignore that. So, I just think it is something that has to be avoided. It obviously offends people. I mean, I don't get offended by being called bald, and that's all right. But I would. If I were black, I would offend. I would be really upset if my entire sort of ethnic group was insulted in that way. So, yeah, I just think it's an old-fashioned attitude, and I'm not saying for a moment that Dave Whelan has had a racist bone in his body. In fact, a little bit that was in the quote, which we ought to add, is that the game is football, whether you're white, black, pink, red, it doesn't matter, we're all equal and we all play football and we should get on with it. And I think, you know, hurrah to that. I think we all agree with that. So, Dave, you know, isn't some complete monster. But I remember, never forget, having a conversation with a woman who, of about my age. I'm in my mid-60s. She would be actually probably a bit older. It was after the Ron Atkinson incident. You remember that, when he said a completely taboo word by mistake and possibly with irony. But, I mean, bang, that was virtually the end of his broadcasting career. And we were discussing it with an element of sadness, actually, because Ron Atkinson is certainly not a racist, and has contributed to the rise of black players in English football. However, I said to this woman, and she was quiet, she said, I used to be a magistrate, and part of our training as white people at that time was that we were told, assume that you are a racist when you're judging people. Assume that you are a racist, because you probably are, because of your background and the era in which you grew up. And I've never forgotten that. And I've always tried to be conscious of it in my own sort of writing and so on. I just think that sometimes people get overtaken by the world, and that's true in terms of black-white relationships. Also, I mean, I'm white, and I've been around a long, long time, and I've never been called a white so-and-so by a black person, you know?
I've never hung out at Mugabe's house, have you?
Well, maybe I've just stayed out of troublesome areas, but...
But that's the point. I mean, you say in your experience you've never been called that. A lot of us would say that that is a difference between calling somebody a white so-and-so and a black so-and-so.
Yeah.
It's the enduring power relation. And that if you are in a place where white people have been oppressed, and let's face it, there aren't too many in the world, but certainly you could argue that Mugabe Zimbabwe is one, that they're being called a white so-and-so, you know, could somehow be equivalent to being called a black so-and-so here because of the power relation over there. But I think to find an equivalence in it here is inappropriate.
Yeah.
But more to the point, nobody's called anybody a white so-and-so. And that's what gets me about Whelan's comments. He's basically saying, you know, it's on the pitch, let it stay on the pitch, grow up. The only reason we're talking about it is that adjective in front of the C word.
Yes.
Certainly in the alleged Terry Ferdinand case.
Yes.
You know, if he had called him a Cockney C word, and obviously there Terry would be insulting himself as well, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
Would that be so bad? What if he'd called him a mixed race, which Ferdinand is, by the way?
Yes. Absolutely. I can remember Stan Collymore ringing me up when Barack Obama was elected. And he said, it's really annoying me as a person of mixed race that everyone's saying, oh, fantastic historical event. America's got its first black president. He said, it hasn't. It's got its first mixed race president. And that's different. So, I mean, that was
probably more obviously unfamiliar with the so-called one drop rule, which if you grew up in University of States around the time I did, and Obama's a few years older than me, but it's basically the reality is that if you are in any part, if you look anything other than white, you are black.
Yes.
And that's the reality.
Well,
and that's
I had a friend, a journalist called Emma Lindsay, who had a black father and a white mother, and was, I thought, obviously of mixed race. And she mentioned, we were having a chat once, and she said, well, as a black person, I said, you're not black, Emma. You're no more black than you're white. And she said, oh, yes, I am. Because if you're not white, you're black. Because that is the way society treats you. So anyway, you learn from all of those things. One thing you don't do, I don't think, is you use it skin color in an insult. I mean, it's just turning your back on history. I think Dave Whelan's got it completely wrong. But I don't think we should lambast him about it. I think we should discuss it exactly as we are doing.
Final point on this. At the weekend, in one of the columns I wrote, I tried to look at it from Scudamore's perspective and that of the Premier League. And I think right now he's thinking, uh-oh, this is really bad. Two racial incidents in 2 weeks. You know, we've largely, we've almost entirely eliminated racist abuse in the stands.
Yes.
And how we've got, and that's been part of the appeal, I think, of the Premier League
Very
along with the product
so.
And so on.
Very much so.
I know we've got two of our employees, you know, making accusations like this. Now, there is a scenario where everything's fine, where it turns out that both cases were one giant misunderstanding and they all come out arm in arm.
Yeah.
But the reality is, whether these people are acquitted for insufficient evidence, whether they're found guilty, there's going to be a certain uncomfortable stench that's going to remain for how long?
If the FA don't get to this, the stench will never go away. And I think that that the FA, as well as the Premier League, have to bear this in mind. Bear in mind that this is the FA. When you get a single monkey chant in Podgorica or something, you know, they want the Montenegrin FA banned and having to play behind. So the FA have this very laudable zero tolerance. So they, if they're going to apply it all over the world when their players are abused, then they have to apply it internally as well. And I think that also, I think we have to look at precedents here. We have to look at the precedent. If Rio Ferdinand is banned for 8 months for missing a drug test less than a decade ago, if Eric Cantona is banned for 8 months for kicking out at a fan in an incident which was also dealt with more leniently by the criminal courts, then it's quite difficult to argue that if either John Terry or Luis Suarez is found guilty, that their suspension should be much less than that. We're talking the rest of the season. So it's a big, big issue, this. On the other hand, if they are innocent and their accusers turn out to be false accusers, and that would be particularly serious in the case of Patrice Evra, since Ferdinand's accusation seems to be based more on assumption than on hearing, whereas Evra claimed to have heard it 10 times, then they should be suspended for a long, long time.
Well, maybe I'm naive, but like Richard Scudamore, I'm hoping that this will all end with both sides saying, oh, I'm sorry, it was a huge, huge misunderstanding. I misheard. I can see why you would have been upset. Oh, yes, we're all friends now. Maybe that's the only way this whole thing goes away
completely. Takes me back to Chicago in 1919. I wasn't there, but I'm saying, say it ain't so, Joe.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.